Phil Henry Show at 1-800-449-8686. And you can pick up a copy of the Best of the Phil Henry Show CD at philhenryshow.com. If you'd like a little compact disc compilation of some of the crap we did the last year. And we actually have, six available. Well, I don't know how many are available. I shouldn't even open my big trap. But we do have at least the 1999 available for you. Go to philhenryshow.com and log on, brother. $23.50, $3.50 shipping and handling, $20 for the CD, and all of the proceeds go to my friend's place, a resource center for homeless and runaway kids in Hollywood. Let me get back to Dave Oliva. He's with, what's the group you're with, Latin Express?
Yes, sir. It's a group of people who want to empower young Latino and Latina people to graduate from high school.
You know, and to get a Hispanic college? Because I'll tell you why. We've had a lot of people call and say, well, they don't think that anybody, there should be colleges just for white, just for black.
No, I know that. But they got black colleges for black students because traditionally African-Americans were kept down, you know. But now, you know, the country's gotten better. But Hispanics, like, you know, we don't have it together, you know. And I spoke to a group of Latino students recently, and I made the point, you know, that we got to get our stuff together. Because there's a lot of loose stuff happening, you know? And so that's, I don't know, I guess that you could say that's kind of what I'm saying, you know? That there's just a lot of loose stuff, we got to tighten it up.
Okay, here is San Antonio on the Phil Henry Show. Hello?
Hello?
Yes, hi.
Hi, this is Jackie.
Yes, Jackie.
I'd like to say one thing. What this guy is saying is, like, super degrading, first of all.
Degrading.
Degrading.
I'm trying to uplift my people.
No. You're not trying to uplift anybody. You are degrading. How are you going
to get
off? Trying
to get people to go to college or people to say,
listen,
good for you.
To me.
No.
I'm as Mexican as you can get.
Okay.
I may not sound like it, but let me tell you something.
Were you born there?
Yes, I was.
Okay.
Good for you. I'm 20. No, good for you, yeah.
Yeah, good for you,
I'm
man.
I'm 20 years old, okay?
See, I'm making a
it's
joke,
never
man.
Crossed my mind to have a child before the age of 18. That, first of all, is degrading. You're putting all Mexicans. That's stupid. A stereotype on all Mexicans. Come on.
No, but I agree with you. It is degrading to have a child before you're 18. It's ridiculous.
So how are you going to uplift people by degrading them? That,
no, I'm just
you're
saying.
You're a motivational speaker.
I'm saying to Latina, our women, to say Latinas, you have to not have no kid until at least, you know, 18, 19 years old, because otherwise they're out there pumping out these babies. And what's that going to do?
What's going to do what?
If you're pumping out...
You should say, as soon as they finish high school, get into college, don't have babies before 18.
Well, the reason why they're not getting into college, my sister, is because they're pumping out some baby. Hello?
Uh-huh, I'm here.
Okay, and they're packing four or five of them into
pass
the back.
Pass out birth control. Don't be saying don't have a baby before 18. Pass out a goddamn condom.
Hey, why don't you do this? Why don't you not have no sex with a man, and then you won't have a baby?
I'm 20 years old. Listen to
what
I'm
saying.
Well,
what am I talking?
You.
Why am I passing out condoms for then?
Okay, you don't want them to have a baby instead of degrading a person
I don't
and saying
want them
don't
to
have a baby
sex.
Because you're not going to amount to anything.
They should not have sex.
Hey, let me ask you something, Dave. Do you have a girlfriend?
Yes, I do.
Okay, do you have sex with your girlfriend?
I have sex with my girlfriend because I have control. I know how to...
So it's a control issue.
She's not going to get pregnant, believe me.
Has she gotten pregnant?
No, well, we have a six-month-old daughter, but that was a mistake. Okay? So I don't know what to say.
What do you mean you got a six...
A
how old is your girlfriend?
She's 17, okay? She had a baby... But you know, we were using a condom and it broke. Okay, so that's all I'm trying to say.
All right, ma'am. Well, thank you for your call.
Thank you.
1-800-449-8686, Jacksonville. Hello, you're on the Phil Henry Show.
Yeah, Dave.
Hello?
Dave, you there?
Yes, sir, I'm right here.
Hey, my name's Russ. Hey, I'm speaking for the white people, all right?
What no, you're not saying? Speaking for. You're not speaking for white people. You speak for yourself there, Russ.
All right, I'm
okay,
speaking
I'm white.
For myself.
There you go.
Let him speak for the white people.
He's not speaking for me. He can speak for himself. You don't speak for the Hispanic people.
I do speak for Hispanic people.
Well, what I don't understand is how you can speak for the Hispanic children or how you can even talk to Hispanic children with such racist values that you have. I don't understand where you come across degrading white people.
Well, you get to be racist. Why can't I?
Why would I? I'm not on the radio degrading Hispanics.
Well, you do it in private.
How do you know? You don't know me.
I know the kind of guy you are.
No. See, now you're stereotyping.
Well, where do you live?
I live in Jacksonville.
Yeah, you put down Mexicans, man. Come on.
Give me a break.
Come on, man. Come on. Be honest with me.
No.
You never have. You never have.
You know what? I'd be lying to you to say I never have.
There you go, man. How about black people?
I'd be lying to you to say I never have.
There you go, man. See,
but
I know
you.
I know you, man. You're a typical white man.
But do you know what? You know, there's always room for bettering. And to me, it sounds like you're trying to group or hoard Hispanics into an area where you want to become hatred.
No,
and
all I'm saying is I want them to go to
do.
School, okay? I just made the one comment about white people smelling like, you know.
Why can't you go to school with whites and blacks and Hispanics and Mexicans? America's a free country.
Well, you know, because
you know,
the whites.
You're trying.
I don't
want to
hang out
to be part of a free country.
Well, that whole thing
if
with the way
you
want
to go to
you know,
where Hispanics all are,
right.
Why don't you go to a Hispanic country?
Well, because I'm American, you know. And the other
well,
thing,
then,
though, is
if you're
hanging around with
if
white people,
true,
man, they smell kind of bad
American,
when they're coming in out of the
American,
rain, you know. The whole thing is
American
like,
people.
When it rains, white people smell kind of funny. That's all, you know.
Man, that doesn't make sense.
Well,
I'm
telling you, it's true. It's true,
you know that.
You should be me on a rainy day, man. You should be me on a rainy day.
That explains your age. That explains your age. That's all I could say for that.
My age?
Yeah. I mean, your immaturity.
No, what, because white people smell bad when they get wet?
I guess so.
Because I'm immature? Come on, man.
I guess
what do you
so.
Mean white people smell bad when they get wet?
I don't know what
this
it is.
It doesn't make sense.
It's weird,
what do
man.
You smell like when you get wet?
I smell good.
Like a bed of roses?
I smell like a bed of roses, man. I smell good. But the whites I've been around after it's been raining, it's like, man, my dog smells like that, you know?
Okay, it is getting into a little bit of race bashing here. And
yeah,
well,
yeah,
I don't mean to. I started off talking about how, you know, I wanted people to get into college. That's all, man. You the guys that took it off into there. You know.
No. You started off on how you didn't want to go to college with no white people. Here's Philadelphia on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Yeah, Phil, thanks for taking my call. Listen, this fool is talking about black people. Don't be lumping black people into your problems, my man. You got your problems, we got our problems. But don't say we got our colleges. I went to a black college, and believe me, there was plenty of your people there, too.
Hey, we're brothers, man.
We ain't brothers. No way. See, here's the difference between us and
look,
you.
Look, black, brown, what's the difference, man? We all
I'll
got
tell you
we what
got, the difference
is. The man is
we
coming
didn't come
down
here.
On
we was dragged here. You people are swimming across the river every night to get here.
No.
We
hold,
didn't come
hold.
Here. So don't tell us that we got the same problems you got. We ain't brothers, let me tell you, my friend.
But wait a second, man. Are you telling me that you came here against your will?
Yeah, my ancestors came here against the will. Read some history.
Well, some of them volunteered. Not all of them came over, you know.
I don't know any who volunteered to come over here in chains and be a slave, do you?
I'm saying it's possible.
Yeah, right. Well, there's a lot
what
of
are you
possible.
Talking about? It's possible.
No, I'm just... This is the history that we have to learn. Otherwise, we are doomed to repeat it, you know?
Well, listen, you say you're such a dynamic speaker. Let me tell you something, brother.
Yeah.
You better take some lessons, because you couldn't even read your speech on the radio. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, okay.
You
that's
hear
a,
me, Phil.
You know something, man? That's a cold shot, man. That is a cold
shot. No, it was a very funny comment.
No, it's a cold shot, because
now,
I know...
Listen, I heard, and everybody in America heard, I'm in Philadelphia, and I heard your papers rustling as your butt was trying to read your stupid speech.
Hey, man.
You couldn't even do it.
I am very dynamic when I speak to my people, but I was very nervous, okay?
Let me give you one last shot here before we go to break, okay, Dave?
What?
Let me give you... excuse me. So this gentleman can hear. One last shot at some of the comments you made to those Latin students, okay?
All right. I just wanted to say
oh,
to the...
this will be good.
Hey, man. Okay, I just want to say to the Latin students assembled, you know, that we got to keep our stuff tight. A lot of stuff's been getting loose lately. Okay,
what,
now...
What exactly does that mean, my friend?
Okay, man, I'm very nervous, and I don't think it's fair of Mr. Henry now to make fun of me.
No,
you
just...
should be nervous, because when you're shoveling that much bull, you're going to be nervous.
You got to give me some respect, man. And you're not showing me.
I don't give you nothing. If I was in L.A., I'd give you something you don't want. Let me tell you that, my brother.
Oh, some kind of a gay come on?
It ain't no gay,
gay
come on. Believe you me, it ain't gay.
A gay come on. Thank
I'll
you.
I'll tell you what, Phil. It's a great bit. Keep it up, brother.
Thanks for calling. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show. Phil Henry Show at 1-800-449-8686. The high rate of high school dropouts among Hispanic students has prompted an organization called Latin Express. One of the guys has called in here. You know, Dave, a lot of your stuff here has to do with pride in being Latin and trying to have your own university to go to and everything, but a lot of it sounded kind of racist. You know, the whole stuff about white people smelling like dogs.
Okay, I didn't mean for that to offend anybody. It just, you know...
Well, we've been fielding a lot of calls here from people who've had their feelings hurt. And I, you know...
Well, it would do any good if I apologized, you know?
If you apologized?
Yeah. I mean, I'd be happy to say to, you know, to the white people who got offended, like, I'm sorry, you know? I didn't mean to say that you smell like a dog, you know? I just, it was something that I noticed, but I'm not gonna, you know, I'm not gonna make a big deal out of it or anything, you know? I think that,
Do you think that whites and blacks and browns can go to school together?
Sure, you know, I don't see any reason why not. It's just that some schools do it, but other schools don't. And I just wonder how come blacks get to have their own school, but brown people don't. That's all.
Well, all right, let me take a phone call here. I was just talking to a guy who was making a very good point, and you talked to him as well. He said those schools, those traditionally black schools, have white students.
Well, the only reason why I come on your program is to get some empowerment for my people, not to have, you know, to wait till they're out of school before they have babies and stuff like that. That's all I'm trying to do.
Here is Banger on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Hello.
Or is it Bangor? Yes, ma'am. Hi.
Hi, it's Banger, Washington, and Bangor, Maine.
Okay.
I'm calling from Bangor. Hey, Dave, you're starting to sound like a little Hitler, okay? You need to chill out on the racist stuff.
No, all I'm saying is that I speak on behalf of my people, you know.
How can you speak on behalf of a people that spread across an entire nation of multicultural people? That's
because
ridiculous.
We've got to get our stuff together, you know. I think we've got to pull our stuff together.
It's ridiculous.
And what's ridiculous?
Every person, hey, buddy, every person in this country is from another country.
Hey,
every person in
what
America.
Where are you from?
Oh, I'm from Portland, Oregon.
Well, then you don't come from another country, do you?
Oh, really? My ancestors come from Italy.
I'm not talking. You weren't talking about your ancestors. You were talking about you.
Yeah, I'm talking about me. What about you? Where are you from?
L.A.
Yeah, see? You're from America, too.
Yeah, well, you're the one who said everybody comes. You're someone who said everybody comes from another country.
She's talking about everybody's ancestors.
We all wound up here somehow. You're starting to sound like Hitler's separating everything. That's not what this country's
no,
about.
No, I'm just saying that, you know, like
you're
white people get to have.
You want to separate the schools. That's ridiculous.
How many black people do they got in Maine?
What are you going to do?
Hey, how many black people you got in Maine?
Well, the population's very small.
Yeah. There's one good reason why you're living up there, right? And the other reason is
I'm
for
here
me
to go to school, man.
What are you going to school up there? You could be going down like UCLA. There's a lot of Chinese people,
I
stuff like that.
I came from a school in Portland, Oregon. That's a pretty multicultural city, buddy.
Well, how come you left there?
Because I wanted to travel. How
you
does that sound to you?
You wanted to travel to where the white people lived. Look, what I'm saying is
buddy,
this.
Buddy, we've got all kinds of people here. A huge population here is from French Canadian.
Well, then that's what I call black. Get out of here.
I'm not talking about colors, man. I'm talking about different people living together in a huge country.
Look, you
it's
put
a
on
beautiful
a,
thing,
you
and you're
on,
trying to separate
yeah, a beautiful
it.
Thing, man. You got, like, no black people, no brown people. You got a whole bunch of white people that speak French. You put on a ski cap. You look like you're French-Canadian, you know? What difference does it make, man? Come on.
Why do you have this anger against people from different backgrounds,
well, why don't
man?
You move to a place that's predominantly Hispanic?
Why are you so defensive?
Why are you living in Maine?
If I moved to a place with more Hispanic people, how much chance would you have of having a Hispanic college? Wouldn't I have a right to go there, too?
Well, you would have to,
what are you
know,
do?
You'd
annex
have to,
me?
You'd have to start your own white university.
Oh, my God. Where are you from, the dark
So wait a second. Well, where are you from, the white country? You up there in the Great White North, up there in Maine.
I'm
lumberjacking.
From America, man. It doesn't matter where you go.
You go up there to get some maple syrup out of a tree or something like that, put on a ski cap, you know, hang around with all the white
Everywhere
folks, you know.
Everywhere you go, you're going to run into different kinds of people, man.
Except in Bangor, Maine.
This
and
is what the globalization of the world is about. Don't be a Hitler and try to annex people.
If you want to get globalization, then you got to live on the globe. You can't go to another planet. This is what you did when you went to Bangor, Maine, okay?
This
you got
is
to
not
get
another planet, buddy.
Maine? Come
We're
on.
We're 4.5 hours from Boston.
Yeah, well, that's 4.5 hours from Boston. How come you ain't
so
living there?
No multiculturality at all up here. Is
well,
that right?
Why don't
Everyone's
you live
the same. We all come out of a can. Is that
why
it?
Don't you live in Boston? What you living in Bangor, Maine for?
What is your point? What is
Why
your
you
point?
Your mind?
My point is, she's like, just like all these white people. She went to a place where there's mostly white people.
Oh
That's
my
all my
gosh.
Point, you know?
What are you going to do with a huge Hispanic college? What are you going to do? You're going to separate yourselves from the rest of American society. That's not what we're based on, man.
Well, that's
not
what
why
you
people
did.
Come here.
That's what you did when you moved to Maine.
You come here to be an individual, man. What are you doing?
What are you doing in
You're
Maine?
You're trying to separate things. You're
you
trying
separated
to put
yourself
in
up
hands.
In Maine.
That's
what
not
are,
what we're about.
You separated yourself up in Maine.
Oh, no, I didn't, man.
Oh, I see, man.
That's not what it's like.
That's
Have you
not
been
what it's
to
about.
Maine?
Yeah,
Have you been to
yeah,
Maine?
And there ain't no black folks up there.
You've been to Maine?
Yeah.
How many times?
Oh, enough to see there ain't no black folks.
I don't believe you at all, man.
How many black people are in Bangor?
In Bangor?
Yeah.
The population in Maine generally is about 4%.
So that Dave's not wrong when he says it's white.
That's right, man. That's what I'm trying to get out of her, you know. But she wants to tell me it's a big multicultural place.
I didn't
get
say
out of
that
here.
About Maine.
Like the only black guy they got up in Maine is probably, you know, driving a postal van or something, you know, or whatever. Maybe he's the weatherman on TV or something. I don't know. Maybe he's the one disc jockey they got on the R&B station in Bangor.
I'm offended that you're classifying yourself and you're segregating everyone else. That is wrong.
Well, you segregated yourself up in Maine. You went up to Maine to segregate yourself.
This is how Hitler started, buddy.
Yeah, he started out in Maine.
So what are you
okay,
doing? Are
look.
You choosing Hispanics as the perfect race? Is that what you're trying to do?
Well, I think they're better looking than white women.
In your opinion.
It's a
you
fact.
Are one individual.
Wait a second.
No, I mean, come on. You know Latin women get it done.
So now you're classifying your race again.
Just saying
based
Latin
on your opinion.
I'm just saying Latin women get it done, you know.
What's next? Who else are you going to put down?
One thing about Latin women, they don't smell like wet dogs.
Okay.
I don't believe that.
All right. Thank you, ma'am, for your call. Thanks a lot, Dave. Good luck, okay?
Well, wait a second, man. Are you going to censor me, man?
I'm getting done with you, okay?
No, this is censorship, okay?
No, we heard all you had to say about Maine, Bangor, Maine, Portland, the black universities, the Hispanic universities, and, oh, yeah, the compelling public speaker that you are, okay?
Well, I just want to close out by saying my people have got to get their stuff together. Because
there's a lot of loose stuff going on.
Yeah, there's a lot of loose stuff going on. You're a racist, man. You censor me. That's it, man. Get it together, okay? Viva Laza. Everybody gonna...
Thanks. 1-800-449. A lot of loose stuff going on. Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. A little bit of news kind of hit like a bombshell around Los Angeles today. A woman living in Bellflower, California, which is a suburb here, claims, now, I'm sure you've heard, if you haven't read the latest today, at least you've heard down through the years, that Thomas Jefferson, one of the early presidents of the United States, I don't know which one, was he number three? I think he was number three. John Adams was number two. Thomas Jefferson was number three. I'm pretty sure. Anyway, had as his mistress a black slave, or should I say one of his black slaves was his mistress. I don't know how you'd want to put that together in your mind. And, quote, together they parented six children, end quote. I'm always very suspicious of, quote, sexual relations, end quote, between a master and a slave, because generally that it's not the most romantic sounding thing to me. Although you can see these TV movies. What's this made-for-TV movie with Sam Neill? And who is it? Diane Carroll? Looks like some real cornball to me. There he is, kind of, she's sort of nuzzling his neck, and there is old Tom Jefferson with the fright wig that he wore. And there's old Sally, and they look like they're just as happy as two peas in a pod. If only they could be free to express the love that they had for each other. Well, you know, yada, 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 yada. Anyway, news came over the wire today that there is a woman in Bellflower, Ms. Mavis Leonard. She's 78 years of age, and she is making some remarkable claims. Let's just put it that way, okay? The reason why she came forward and talked to the press today was because of this news about Thomas Jefferson and Sally Hemings. Mavis, you there? Mavis, hello?
Yes.
How are you, ma'am?
Yes, I'm really good. I'm fine. Thank you very much.
Okay, dear, I'm going to speak as loud as I can. I don't know. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Can you tell me why you came forward and made the claims that you made today?
Yes, I came forward today and made the claim that I did because I know that there are a lot of movies out and books that are being written about Thomas Jefferson and Sally Hemings, and she was a slave, and she was not treated well by Thomas Jefferson, I don't believe. I found that she had six children of his, and yet he disowned all those children, and that she did not get any money from him after he passed on. It was at that time that I had seen in the TV Guide a movie about Thomas Jefferson and Sally Hemings starring Sam Neill and another actress, and I said that I have to speak out because I don't think that he was an honorable man at all. And my experience was that a president can be an honorable man, and it was that experience that I had.
Now, you told the press today that you had a five-month affair, was it, with Franklin Roosevelt. Is that correct?
That is correct. I told the reporters to come to my house today that President Roosevelt was a friend of mine, that I had known him from October of 19... I had met him in July of 1944, and I knew him all the way on up to his death in April of 1945, and that he was a decent man, that he treated me with great respect, and that when he died, I found him, that I heard his last words when he died. The reporter...
All right, hold on. Before we get to his final words when he died and before we get into anything else, we have to get clear. Are you claiming that you had an intimate relationship with President Roosevelt?
Yes, I am saying that in July of 1944, that President Roosevelt came to Manning, South Carolina, and this was part of his campaign stop. In those days, they did what they call a whistle stop. The president had gone up and down the eastern seaboard and had come to Manning, South Carolina, at which time I was out of college. I was working as an assistant librarian in a school, in a library, in a town library. The children in the town had done essays for a president.
The children had done what?
Had written essays for the president.
Had written essays?
Yes. And I had been selected to present to President Roosevelt the essays. And I went and met him at a appearance that he was there in the park in Manning, South Carolina. And I gave him the essays. And the president and I spoke briefly. And later on, I received a phone call from a man. I got a call from...
What, from somebody from the White House?
I believe it was someone from the White House who said that they would like to send a car for me and come over and meet the president, which I did. I went to Hatcher's Inn, which in those days is where the president of the United States would stay. We had a good conversation. And then he went back to Washington, and I was called about in early August.
Do you remember the date you saw President Roosevelt in, in July?
In mid-July, yes.
And then in August they called you?
I was called, and I was invited to come up to Washington. I had gone to the university there, at Howard University. I spoke to the president, and he got me a job working as a clerk in the White House, and I came up to Washington.
Where did you live in Washington?
I lived for a time at the Shoreham Hotel, and the president would call me and send a car, and we would have long conversations, and I would visit and have dinner with him in the residence section.
Now, where was the First Lady Eleanor Roosevelt when all this was going on?
Eleanor Roosevelt was the First Lady of the United States, and she was not in town at that time. She was rumored at that time to be a lesbian, and so the president was a lonely man and did not have companionship. So I give him what he wanted.
So Eleanor Roosevelt was a lesbian, and she wasn't in town anyway. And so, therefore, upon that information, you and the president commenced to having an intimate affair?
We commenced to being involved intimately, yes, because you have to understand that President Roosevelt was extremely lonesome. that Mrs. Roosevelt was not in the city much because she was traveling at that time. The country was at war, and she was doing a lot of his traveling for him as well, because there was a campaign going on. I then had an intimate affair with the President Roosevelt that lasted until his death in April of 1945. He was a decent man. He was a friendly man. He gave me a job. I was not his slave. And the reason why I've come forward is because I want people to see that a black woman could have a loving relationship with a white president and not have it be slut-like and everything all slut-like. A black slave mistress, 6 children out of wedlock, that was not what my relationship with President Roosevelt was all about.
He had polio, didn't he?
He had polio, yes. I provided some therapy for him. FDR was a man who gave me a great deal of respect, and we had a wonderful relationship.
When you said you provided therapy, how?
Because I would provide therapy for him. He would be in his wheelchair, and I would come into the room, and I would say to him, if you want to come over here and give me a kiss or a hug or something, then you're going to have to get up out of that chair and do it. And I would see him. He would, you know, try to get up out of the chair, and I'd say, you come now. You come on over here now. You want to get a kiss from me, you're going to have to get out of that chair and get on over here. And so he would get out of the chair, and because he could not walk, but he would try to walk.
And so did he get over to you?
Well, he would probably would take a couple of steps, and then he'd have to crawl the rest of the way. So he would crawl across the room and give me a hug and a kiss, and that's what I would... And
that was the therapy, so you would play these little games with him?
Yes, that's right. And I found him to be a good man. He was the president of the United States, so he could not leave his wife, Eleanor Roosevelt. So I provided the few happy moments that he had. And I'm very, very happy that I was able to do that for him.
We're talking with Mavis Leonard, who claims that she had a relationship with Franklin Roosevelt from July of 1945, actually August.
It was August of 45.
Okay, Mavis, August of 1940, August of 45 or 44?
August of 1944.
Right, August of 1944 until...
April of 1945, when the president died.
April of 1945. You worked as a clerk in the White House Administration Building. You also had dinners with him. You were living over at the Shoreham Hotel in Washington, D.C.?
That is correct, yes.
And you are coming forward with this information because you find the information about Thomas Jefferson and Sally Hemings disgraceful, and that a black woman could have a relationship with a president and it wouldn't have to be about slavery. Is that it?
Because I'd seen on TV that they had that movie with Sam Neill, and he looked like a clown. And that other woman looked like a clown, too, and I wanted to say that that's not how it was. The president...
Now, you hold on, because I do have to take a break here, Mavis. You claim to have been with President Roosevelt when he died.
Yes, I was.
What happened there?
The president had been not feeling well for 2 days. He had a very bad headache. He had called me. I was at home, and I went over to the White House, and I found him being attended to, and President Roosevelt introduced me as his friend, but he was on his deathbed.
Now, you claim to have been there when he uttered his final words.
That's correct.
All right, hold on, and we'll find out what those were in just a minute, okay? Ms. Leonard?
Yes, that's fine. I was...
All right, hold the phone here. So this lady claims to have been with Franklin Roosevelt the night he died. She claims to have had a relationship with him from August of 44 to April of 1945. Her name is Mavis Leonard. She lives in Bellflower, California, but at that time had been living in South Carolina and went to work for the Roosevelt administration in Washington and was with him the day he died. Now, she mentioned that they did some therapy, what she calls therapy. Apparently, she said to the president, if you want a kiss, you're going to have to get out of that chair and come over and get it. And while he did take a couple of steps, she said he crawled the rest of the way. But that was you know, a kind of therapy that at least was getting him moving. But we're going to come back and hear probably the most interesting part of the story, the president's last words. I don't know what they were. She says she heard them. We'll find out. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show. Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Okay, we're talking to a lady who claims to have had a relationship, an intimate relationship with Franklin Roosevelt from August, what is that, September, October, November, December, January, February, March, April, like 8 months with President Franklin Roosevelt. She's an African-American, and she wants it, she came forward today with this information. You claim, Ms. Leonard, because you don't want everybody thinking that Sally Hemings and Thomas Jefferson were the only two people, the only black woman and white president ever got together. She was a slave, and he was the president. You were a free woman. You were given a job by President Roosevelt in the administration, correct?
That's correct, yes. And that was at, in the White House administration building.
How old were you?
Oh my Lord, I was 23, just out of college, and I was working for the public library in Manning, South Carolina.
Now, you mentioned that you did have an intimate relationship with the president, partly because his wife was lesbian, partly because she was never around. Was that the moral justification that you gave to yourself?
I did not try to give a moral justification. I just felt that the president was a very lonely man. And I found him to be a good friend, and I tried to be as good a friend to him as he was to me. And I found that we had a good relationship, that he did get me work and treated me like a woman and like a lady and was a respectful man.
Okay. The day the president died, you came over from your hotel. You were with him there in the White House?
In the Lincoln bedroom, yes. Doctors were attending to him. And I came over to his side, and he looked up at me, and he said, Mavis, I'm going down for the third time. You know, it's getting dark. It's feeling bad. And then he said to me the words, As-salamu alaykum. And then he died. His arm flopped out of the bed. I knew he was dead because his arm had been holding my hand. And then he let go of my hand, and his arm just flopped down his side. And
what were his last words?
As-salamu alaykum.
I don't know what that is.
Well, what that is, and I did not know at the time either. But almost 20 years later, 1964, I had moved to New York City. And I met a man there by the name of Ronald X. Towns. And he was a Muslim. And I asked him at that time, what As-salamu alaykum meant. And he told me it meant peace be unto you. And then I told him, well, the first time I ever heard those words, Franklin Roosevelt said them. And he called me, and he was all nuts. And he said, what the hell are you talking about? I said, Franklin Roosevelt's the first man I ever heard say As-salamu alaykum, and then he died. And this Ronald said to me, you are a lover of the white devil, and he wouldn't have nothing to do with me after that. But I finally found out that
As-salamu alaykum is a Muslim greeting?
It is a Muslim greeting. It means peace be unto you. And now I know what President Roosevelt was talking about by that time. But I didn't come out and say nothing about it because I thought people would think that I was out of my mind, you know. People would think I'm nuts. And until now, where there's, you know, discussion and so on and so forth about religion and everything.
Well, that...
And this man, Mr. Towns, said that I love the white devil. I said, well, you know, you say what you want to, but I heard President Roosevelt say that, As-salamu alaykum. And I remember now when President Roosevelt used to crawl over to me, I'd say, you want a little bit of this? You come on over here now.
Yeah, this was when you were giving him therapy.
Yeah, I'd say, you want some of me? You got to crawl out of that chair.
So the last words spoken by Franklin Roosevelt, As-salamu alaykum, And that is a Muslim term, which means...
Yeah, that's Arabic or something. That means peace be unto you.
And then he died.
Then he died. And the more I think about it, that's about as weird a thing I think has ever happened.
Well, I should say it's a little weird. I didn't know that he was... Maybe he was a reader of... I don't know. Maybe he was familiar with religious texts. Maybe he was dabbled in language. Maybe it was the fact that you were black and he was saying something that he thought would have meaning or resonance with you. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either, Phil, but that was the last thing he ever said to me. It was As-salamu alaykum, his final words, and then he died. And I'll tell you that he was a hell of a man, a good guy, and I just want everybody to know that I had an affair with him for 6 months.
Wow.
Pretty wild story, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a wild story. It's
Well, I just wanted everybody to know, you know, because I didn't think that movie about Sam Neill and Thomas Jefferson, all that mess was any good, you know.
Because of the Thomas Jefferson?
Yeah, that whole movie, that whole thing's nuts. So I had an affair with Franklin Roosevelt. He was...
Can I ask you... I don't know, I shouldn't ask you this, but...
Go ahead.
Well, how was he as a lover?
Well, you have to... The guy was crippled from the chest down, so, you know. I mean, that... He was all right. Wasn't bad, you know. Guy, you know, it's difficult to kind of get excited for a man who just spent... the better part of 45 minutes crawling from a wheelchair all the way over the bed, you know. And then he'd have to pull himself up on the bed. But I found him to be a good man. And
crawling over from the wheelchair.
That's right. I wouldn't let him get into bed with me unless he did. Because that was his therapy.
And I'm not familiar with physical therapy, but was that how... I mean, is that...
That's something we did, yeah.
Crawling from his wheelchair to the bed... Well, let me ask you this, Mavis, before we... I'm sure there are many people who have said to you today since this news broke that you're lying or that they don't believe you.
No, I haven't had that many people. I've heard people ask me a lot of questions, but I think most people have understood that I had a great relationship with the president.
I mean, has anybody been skeptical?
No, not at all, because so much time has passed. Why would I lie? You know,
do you have any correspondence? Not that I'm doubting your word, but do you have any letters that he wrote to you? Do you have any anything like that?
No, I don't have anything. I've got, it's really not much. I got a golf club that he gave me. You know,
a golf club?
Yeah, he gave me a golf club. Best wishes, Franklin Roosevelt. He didn't have much, you know, much use for it. So he gave me a bag of clubs, but I lost them.
I'm sorry?
He had polio.
All right, so he couldn't play golf.
Right, so he gave me the clubs, and I lost most of them. I do have the golf with the putter. I got a 7-iron, that's it. 7-iron.
Okay, Mavis? Phil Henry here, hold on.